Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 14th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing. Addy O'Day Jr. joining me is LaCroix Poppy, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, Tim Ma. Gettys.
What a week it's been in video games. What I feel like week. Today, this Games Daily is going to be jam-packed with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We have things so that already happened, about. Things that haven't happened yet, everything in between.
The fact that it's already been such a jam-packed week of content.
Jam-packed day of content. Jam-packed we already reacted to a Nintendo Direct. People can watch that on YouTube now.
Yeah, it's so rare that Kinda Funny Games Daily is my second show of the day.
Yeah.
And so I've already been revved up. I'm already ready to go. I'm ready to talk about video games. Mm-hmm. But Tim, how have you been this week? It's been a while.
I've been real good. I was down in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, the City of Angels.
Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
And I can't talk about it now, but I can talk about it tomorrow.
Yes.
At 8 a.m. Pacific.
Yes.
On PlayStation. I love you.
That's not what you're going to say. I think, I don't know if we
legally
can call
distinct.
It. Yeah, legally, you know legally mean? Distinct enough. Yeah, PS yeah. Love You, XOXO. I've got that show prepped. I got Ooh. Questions for you. Ooh. I'm so excited to talk to you about Spider-Man, but of course, all of y'all will have to wait until tomorrow for that conversation. For now, Tim, there's a lot of conversation to have because today's stories include a new Nintendo Direct, a new State of Play, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, like we're saying, Tim, mm-hmm. It's a very big day. We just got done with the Nintendo Direct that people can check out right now over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames because we got a PS Love You. Because we have a reactions to a State of Play later, mm-hmm. because there's even more things that are happening. No post show today.
Yeah.
We're ending KFGD at the regular 1 hour mark, and then we're moving on to recording other things. So don't expect that at the end of the episode. But you can expect a fun stream, which is. You know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
All right, no. Cool. Yeah,
well, Mike and the boys are going to be streaming. It's
yeah,
what they do.
The boys are going to be streaming.
They're going to play that game, Gazzlers?
Oh, they're about to gazzle.
They're about to gazzle.
They're gazzling all over the place.
See, I did know they're going to play Gazzlers. I didn't know if we're allowed to say that they're
gazzling. Oh, they're gazzling.
They're gazzling.
Wait, why wouldn't we be? Like, I feel like
they're ready
so
to
close.
Get gazzled.
I don't know how embargoes work. Sometimes people keep things secret. When Tim doesn't say it, I'm like, can I say it?
Yeah.
If he's not saying it, I'm not going to say it.
No. Your boy Tim's a little sleepy. A little tie.
I mean, it has been a long day.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. We had
exactly.
We had to wake up at 6:30. You know, I actually woke up at 6 so I could take a shower for it. But of course, like I said, Nintendo Direct reactions up. It's me. It's Tim. It's both of us at home, which always gives such a unique and like good energy
yeah.
to these Nintendo Directs.
Yeah. There's something about you get me and Bless together in the morning, and there's like a, I don't want to call it a magic, but there's definitely a funk to it.
Oh, yeah. There's an energy there for sure. When you make me wake up at 6 a.m., there's no holds barred. I'm going to say anything I want. And let me tell you, I do that. I said a lot of things.
You're a fucking nerd. Everybody needs to watch it just to see how much of a fucking nerd this guy is.
It was the fact that, like, oh man, is this Iaiden Chronicles? And then the thing pops up, Iaiden Chronicles. And I'm like, why do I have this knowledge?
Yeah.
Why do I know as soon as a Keiichi Okabe song comes up, it's Keiichi Okabe? And as soon as I see a character, I'm like, that's Vanillaware.
Yeah.
Why the fuck do I know these things?
I don't know, Bless.
I'm broken.
I'm proud of you.
Over on Patreon, of course, the content doesn't stop. We got a new episode of Remember Blank where we remember Mortal Kombat. Very good episode. That is me. That is Mike. And that's Roger Bacorny. That's your PS2 kid right there. We also got a new kind of feudie up, and it's our season finale. And it's a must-watch episode. Was it infuriating for multiple on the episode? Yes.
Ooh, I love that.
It's a rare Snowbike Mike appearance, which is why. So you want to check that out again over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Speaking of Patreon, thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and DraftKings Sportsbook, but We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, we got a Nintendo Direct recap for you. Again, it happened 7 a.m. this morning. PDT, that specific daylight time. Yeah, I always get them mixed up. Are we in PDT or are we in PST? Might have had a few email slip-ups based on that in the past. You know what I mean? It's rough out there. I'm going to recap the whole show for you. Me and Tim are going to talk about it. So let's start off with Splatoon 3 DLC, which Nintendo started off with. It's called Side Order. It's coming spring 2024, and it's a little roguelite mode. They didn't say the word roguelite, but if you watch that trailer, it's a roguelite.
Yeah, they know what like they're doing. You can do it over and over.
Yeah, this mode is meant to be played over and over again. It's like, I know what that means. Mm-hmm. That means there's randomization. That means I'm going to die, and I'm not going to be able to retain that progress. And I'm very excited about it.
Cool trailer.
Very cool trailer.
You know, Splatoon, it's always there. It'll always be there. But it's like, are we going to get something that makes absolutely no sense to us or something that makes no sense, but we go, huh?
Yeah.
And I feel we went like, huh.
Yeah, like, it made no sense, and I was like, huh, I might check that out.
Yeah.
I might. And when I say might, there's a 20% chance I might check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a possibility.
It's Splatoon time for Blessing.
We got Mario versus Donkey Kong, the Donkey Kong game we've all been waiting for. That's coming February 16th, 2024. We got Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, another trailer. As a reminder, that game is coming out January 18th. Horizon Chase 2 is out later today. Super Crazy Rhythm Castle, which looks really cool. That's a party game that's rhythm-based. That is coming out November 14th. We got Spy Anya. A nice little Spy Family game where you're playing as Anya. That is coming out next year. Me and Barrett went crazy for that one. You really did. I felt that in my soul.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, I didn't know I wanted this, but now I want this. I'm going to play the hell out of this game. I fucking love Anya. That's one of my favorite characters.
I'm happy for you. That dog, what's his name? Boyo?
Yeah, Barrett knew his name. I didn't know the dog's
name. I like
his
vibe.
Yeah.
He looks cool.
The dog has a good vibe. We got assuming the dog in one of the episodes saves Anya. That's how they become friends.
Oh, shit.
Anya reads minds. Yeah, the dog can speak, I think, through his mind because she can read the dog's mind.
Wild Thornberry's rules.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. Do they have mind reading in Wild Thornberry's?
I don't know. She can talk to animals. That's her whole thing.
Yeah, I think that counts as mind reading, right?
Sure. Okay, I guess that lines up. Bondo.
Bondo.
Super Mario RPG got another trailer, a more extended trailer. Another code.
Fun feature that we saw is that you can switch the music between the original Super Nintendo music and the new
modern orchestral versions,
which is very, very cool.
Very cool. Another code to Memories was announced. That is coming out January 19th. Princess Peach Showtime got a title. That is coming March 22nd.
Delightful.
That game looks very fun. Very, very fun. We got Saga Emerald Beyond coming 2024. Tomb Raider 1 through 3 remastered. That's coming February 14th. Detective Pikachu Returns on October 6th. Trombone Champ is coming to Switch later today. Battle Crush got a trailer. War Tales got a trailer. Contra Operation Galuga got a trailer.
Galuga.
It's a reimagining of Contra. Unicorn Overload. Overlord got a trailer. It's coming March 8th. That's the Vanillaware game.
It looks incredible.
And it looks really good. Looks really good. And I never got confirmation that Okabe is doing the soundtrack, but I must imagine that he's doing the soundtrack, and it sounds incredible. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD got a trailer. That's coming summer 2024. Nintendo Museum got a thing.
Real quick, the Luigi's Mansion thing. Two interesting things there. One, that seems to be the latest date that we have for a Nintendo game right now.
Yeah.
Summer 2024 for Switch.
Which makes sense.
And also, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD dropping the Dark Moon subtitle. Go into the number instead, because it was just Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on 3DS.
It was too fucked up of a title for the kids. They're like, the kids don't want to go to a dark moon. you know what's up there. I mean, ghosts up there. Zelda and Ganondorf are getting amiibos. Noah and Mio from Xenoblade are getting amiibos. Sora is getting an amiibo.
And seeing all of the Smash amiibos, there are now amiibos for every single Smash character. And when you see the picture of them all together, what Sakurai pulled off is nothing short of miraculous,
historic,
incredible, historic is a great way to put it, man.
F-Zero 99 got an announcement. That is the F-Zero Battle Royale. I can't believe I was saying those words out loud. Would you think that in 2017, when we first got the release of PUBG, that somehow this would snowball into an F-Zero Battle Royale?
No chance in hell.
And not even like a new
F-Zero.
An old F-Zero. Like the Super Nintendo F-Zero being turned into a Battle Royale.
It looks awesome. I mean, I don't know how much staying power this has, but I don't know how much that matters because they delete these things after a short amount of time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's coming out later today on Nintendo Switch Online. Bandle Tale got a trailer for 2024. Song of Nunu, a League of Legends story. Fucking nerds. These nerds out here playing League of Legends. That got a trailer. WarioWare Movie got a trailer. That's coming out November 3rd. Ayuden Chronicles 100 Heroes got a trailer. That's coming out April 23rd. Jared Petty, I know, is like, he's doing a backspin right now. He's fucking breakdancing out of happiness for this thing. Eastward, Octopia is coming this holiday. Wargroove 2 got a trailer. Dave the Diver is coming to Switch. Mario Kart 8, the final wave of DLC, got a trailer featuring Diddy and Funky and Pauline and Peachette. How's Peachette gonna try and sneak in there?
Man. Someone's happy about that.
Anyway, who's happy about Peachette?
I don't know, but you lost your shit for Diddy.
I did lose my shit for Diddy. I love Diddy. Because Diddy's not been in one of these racing games. So like, except for Diddy Kong Racing. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I lost my shit, honestly. Because I'm a big Diddy Kong Racing fan.
Wasn't Diddy in Mario Kart Wii?
Was he? He might have been. I don't remember. That was a fever dream for me. But the fact that I get to be behind the wheel is Diddy once again.
Yeah.
Good for us.
We won.
And also, yeah, the Peachette fans out there won. I don't think Peachette existed before this. Somebody say he's in Double Dash. That makes sense.
You're right.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Kong Kart.
A little Kong Kart going on. Among Us got a trailer and a new map called The Fungal. That's coming October 2023. And then they closed out with Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
Yes, they did. Getting the Metroid Prime remastered treatment, and my golly, it looks good.
My goodness.
Dude, Thousand Year Door, this is what we've wanted forever. Just give us the best one, but better. Cool. Thank you, Nintendo. You did the damn thing. Also, more than ever, I'm like, oh, we're getting Melee at some point.
We're not getting Melee.
We're
not getting
Melee.
We're
going to. It's going to happen.
So where do we start here? Because there's a lot to break down. I think overall thoughts for the Direct.
Yes, let's start there.
I really like this Direct.
Yeah.
I thought this Direct was fantastic. It is definitely, I am definitely looking at this through the scope of, I'm seeing 2024 as the final year of the Switch, right? Like, I think that might skew my expectations of what I expect to get out of a Nintendo Direct. But, like, looking at that and thinking that that's a reasonable way to look at 2024, I think this is a great way to close out the Switch. This feels like, if this is the end times, this is the best end times we could ask for.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think that contextually, this is a fantastic Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Great showcase of games, a ton of stuff that I'm personally looking forward to, a ton of stuff that I know others are looking forward to. I always love when they reach back into their past and pull out the things that we actually are looking for, right? It's not, oh, we're remaking the second iteration in this franchise. No. Give us the one that we want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Second favorite of the franchise. We're getting Mario RPG and
Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
Unbelievable. That Princess Peach game looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, not just, oh, kind of cool. I thought it'd be like more of like a Kirby type experience where it's like a Yoshi game that's like, oh, it's a 2D platformer, but even a little bit more kiddie than the core Mario games. Like, it's just like a
watered down, let's get the B team on this, let's get the C
that
team
type
on
thing,
this.
Right? But it doesn't seem to be that at all. It seems to be a very creative, charming, almost Luigi's Mansion puzzle room type experience, and it looks awesome. This looks really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, is it like, you know, blow the doors down, the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen? No, but for this to be in what is probably the Switch's swan song year, I think that we're getting a lot more going on, like specifically in terms of consistent cadence of releases.
Mm-hmm.
That like, man, we got a nice lineup, and all of that surrounding Mario Wonder, which is a huge, huge, huge deal. So yeah, I'm really impressed. And more than that, I love where we're at, because what we're seeing shows that the Switch 2 is coming soon, and the fact that we're not getting new games from a lot of the teams we're looking forward to means we're getting them on the next system. And to me, that's even more exciting than getting them in at the last second here on the Switch. The Switch has lived a good life.
Yeah.
Let it rest.
I think this is a great way to support the Switch this far into the Switch's life cycle, where it is, let's release some experimental new games in the idea of, I keep wanting to call it an Untitled Princess Peach game now, Princess Peach Showtime. Let's release something that's experimental. Let's release something that, you know, kind of gives a different side of what a Mario game can be. But also, like, something that I think creates a bit more hype and excitement around the character of Princess Peach, right? Like, Princess Peach, of course, classic Mario character. There's an iconography there, I guess, that, like, exists with that character. But the fact that you're giving her her own game, that isn't, was it Super Princess Peach, the one that people hated? Because, like,
people didn't hate it.
Okay.
Say it. It just wasn't that great. That was kind of a spiritual successor to Mario 2.
Okay.
But it wasn't great.
I must have listened to a podcast one time or whatever. It was like, why is
problematic in some ways.
Yeah, the fact that like her powers were like powers based on emotion.
Yeah.
Like these things where it's like, you could treat this character better.
100%.
I look at this trailer and I'm like, this feels like a great way to treat this character that doesn't build off of like the damselness of it, right?
100%,
like,
yeah.
Princess Peach, I think, as a character that isn't just meant to be Sage, but a character that can actually be a character and have these cool roles and get into like even more action-y type combat than you even see out of the Mario games, I think that's a smart way to treat it. I think that's also coming off of the Super Mario movie where Princess was that kind of, or where Peach was that kind of character as well. I think that's such a great way to go about it. And yeah, like I'm excited for this thing. Yeah. Like I'm excited for this the same way I was excited for Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
You brought that up when we were reacting to it. You're like, oh, this could be next year's Kirby and the Forgotten Land. And I definitely agree with you. I feel like I don't expect that that'll be the case. But seeing this trailer, I feel like there's nothing they could have done that would have sold me harder. Like I was like, if it was just a Princess Peach 2D platformer game, I would probably play it. I don't think I'd beat it. You know,
yeah.
Looking at this, I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to beat this game. Like, this looks like there's something special there, that Nintendo magic that we love so much. So, good for them. But I think between new games, reboots, and, like, the proper type of remasters, and fun, weird surprises like
F-099.
Like,
yeah.
Sure, it's the Monkey Paw situation of, like, we're getting an F-Zero, and it's this.
Mm-hmm.
I get it's not, like, the dream, the goal. But also, it's pretty damn cool. Like,
yeah.
It looks awesome, and I like how unique it is. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, but the 99 series or whatever you want to call it, like going from Tetris to Super Mario Brothers to Pac-Man to F-Zero, like I like that Nintendo's having fun with this. Like, and it looks like they're really trying to take the core of like, this looks like it stemmed from someone having an idea that's good, as opposed to like, well, what else can we apply it to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone was like, I want to make an F-Zero and this is how it's going to work. And then you see it and you're like, oh yeah, that works.
Yeah, and I think it's also a smart way to gauge interest in F-Zero as well. Like, if everybody's playing this thing, if everybody's falling in love with it, I think that's a good temperature check for, hey, maybe we do remaster F-Zero for the GameCube, right? Maybe we do put some resources into creating a new F-Zero if there is hype around it like this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Mario versus Donkey Kong?
Oh, we didn't even talk much about that. Honestly, I'm really excited for it. Like, I didn't really play. I think I rented the first one on Game Boy Advance, like, once, but I never really played through it. But it is essentially a spiritual successor to Donkey Kong 94 on the Game Boy, which I love. And I love the look of it. I feel like it is that kind of sterile Mario look that I'm a little over these days. But I think that there's something about like the very screen-based puzzles that they have going on that I'm like, this looks like a Kevin game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see him getting lost in it. But I am way more interested in it, seeing it, than I was hearing, oh, it's probably going to be Mario Donkey Kong. Now, again, Monkey Paw situation. Is this the Donkey Kong-related project I wanted to see? No, but I just love...
Like, now it feels like that's going to be the next Switch.
I mean, that's exciting, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, like, that's a really cool thing. If we can get year one of the next... And this is me doing the thing where I'm going to overhype it, and it's going to not live up to that, but... If year one of the next console for Nintendo is, hey, here's a new Donkey Kong game, right? Like the actual 2D Donkey Kong that you want. And also like maybe a Zelda remaster or maybe a new Mario, like new 3D Mario game, right? Like if we're able to hold these things in and like really create a good first couple of years of the next Nintendo console, I think that's a smart way to do it.
Absolutely. Kevin, I saw you pop in for a sec. Do you have something to say?
I do not.
Wait, did you just say I do not? So he said, I love it. I want to bring it right in here from KDG, who writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, I wasn't the person that originally posted this, but I threw together the prediction results for the Nintendo Direct in case they didn't. Of course, yesterday on the show, it was me and Andy went through back and forth, did our predictions. It was Co-op 64 that gave us the prediction prompts of will it or won't it happen? And I have it opened here. Kevin has it pulled up if you're a video watcher. Going through it, right? We start off with F-Zero. Andy said it won't happen. I said it will happen. F-Zero did happen. Metroid Prime 2 Remastered. Andy said it won't happen. I said it will happen. It didn't happen. Mario Kart 8 Final DLC. Both of us said it will happen. It did happen. Zelda Wind Waker / Twilight Princess ports. Both of us said it will happen. It didn't happen. Princess Peach new game. Both of us said it won't happen. It did happen. Metal Slug Tactics. Andy said it will happen. I said it won't happen. It didn't happen. DK64 coming to online. Andy said it will. I said it won't. It didn't. A new DK game. Both of us said it will happen. It did happen. Hollow Knight Silk Song. Andy said it won't happen. I said it will happen just because I wanted to be spicy.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Boo.
And then Metroid Prime 4. Both of us said it wouldn't happen, and it didn't happen. With the final score of me, I got 6 points. Andy got 5 points. So Andy owes me a pizza.
Fuck yeah. Get fucked,
Andy. Yeah, I know what I'm eating for lunch. Oh, yeah, let's go. I'm going to order some deep dish, too.
Hell yeah. Dish it up. I do want to give a shout out to Pioro, the Twitter leaker that we talked about last week. And again, it's in the culture that we're in and the way that video games are talked about, there's speculation, there's hype, there's just straight up made up bullshit, and there's clout chasing. There's a lot of things going on. But every once in a while, somebody comes along with reliable info time and time again, and it builds a cadence of belief where we look at this, and when they say, oh, there's going to be there when they start riddling.
Yeah.
The Riddler coup is another one of them. But like when there's the riddles that, oh, they're talking about F-Zero, you can expect an F-Zero, right? And they were right here about F-Zero, about Donkey Kong, and more than that.
Yeah. I'll give it to them. I mean, they were right about F-Zero, but it was just the riddle they made. It was a bullshit riddle.
No, it was a great riddle.
It was, what was it?
Labs or whatever.
Yeah, what's your favorite Mad Lab function?
F-Zero. Come on, bro.
I could figure out a way to get Peach to be my answer to that question. It was so open.
I don't think that's how that works.
No. But
I eat a Peach when I'm coding. You know what I mean? Oh, man, that's my favorite thing to do. You're going to get Princess Peach at this thing.
Well, you did.
But we did get Princess Peach. Fuck.
The Peach is on your face now. But yeah, they got that right. And then they dug even deeper into it, too, with more riddle stuff where, like, by the end of it, going in, we knew it was going to be a Mario versus Donkey Kong game, and we knew it was going to be an F-Zero 99. Like, and they were right. They got that shit. So it's kind of my favorite type of thing where it's like there's a legit leaker out there. And then there's also surprises like Thousand Year Door. I didn't see that teased at all. And that's very cool that it showed up. So we'll see how long they're reliable because they always turn. There's always a point that happens and it's like, oh, now you're just making shit up.
They'll never be Bill Bilkun, all right?
Yeah.
Bill Bilkun is my guy.
Yeah.
Never gets it wrong. That's the only person I trust.
Bill Bilkun and the NVIDIA leak just in general.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, always right.
Those are Bibles.
We got one more question here from Spoon McKay, who writes in and says, with yet another Nintendo Direct coming and going, with no announcement of ports for Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, you have to assume they are saving both of them for the Switch 2. And we have heard that they have been testing 4K 60fps versions of Breath of the Wild on Switch 2. It seems like just a port for the Switch 2 for Wind Waker and Twilight Princess will be a waste of the new hardware. Could it be they are taking their time with them and we'll see full remastered versions for the Switch 2?
No. I feel like they already are fully remastered. Like, I feel like with the type of games that they are and the fidelity that we're talking about, I don't think that there'd be much of a difference between this and on the Switch 2. I'm talking out of my ass here because we don't know what this all is going to look like yet, but I still firmly believe that the Switch 2 and Switch are going to be more compatible than we would normally see. And Nintendo has done that in the past with, like, the Wii playing GameCube games, going as far as even having GameCube controller ports on it. Like, Nintendo designed that, understood the importance of all of that. So I feel like they're going to continue that, and they're not going to want to give up on the install base and ecosystem they have built and kind of so successfully supported over the last couple years with the Switch. So I still think that we're going to get Wind Waker and Twilight Princess on the Switch, and I think it'll be on the Switch. I think that there's probably going to be a way that if you play the same cartridge or downloaded version on the Switch 2, that it'll be enhanced and that you can change the resolution.
Some Wind Waker DLSS, Wind Waker 4K.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I think just applying the tech, using the tech, but not necessarily changing. That's more hardware than it is like they're having to be specific remastered port or whatever the hell. Yeah. So, yeah, and I feel at this point it's most likely, because there's been all the rumors that the cartridge is going to be different. Even if the cartridge is different, it doesn't need to be necessarily 1,000% backwards compatible. It could be digitally it's backwards compatible, compatible, you know, which I think will be – I think that there's no chance that that's not the case.
Well, but also we'll see, the Game Boy Advance cartridges were different, but they still accepted Game Boy cartridges.
Yeah.
So it could be that there is some difference, but it's not
– Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Nintendo. They're just weird.
They are weird.
Like, I mean, it'd be shocking if there wasn't a level of backwards compatibility on the next console. But also, if there wasn't, it'd line up with just who Nintendo is, right? The fact that it's like, well, this is what we do. This is what our fans expect.
Yeah, I just
and
feel
we
like,
make more money this way. I resell like you all these games.
That's just not their MO anymore. Like, I feel like that's a different style of Nintendo. They're doing it in a different way. Thousand Year Door and things like that, and Metroid Prime being straight up remastered. Like, it's probably going to be $40.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like they're definitely still doing that, but they're not nickel and diming on the eShop type stuff of like, hey, we're re-releasing Earthbound again, and you have to buy it again. And if they do, it's part of the Switch Online. I feel like them building that, they're not going to get.
They're not going to ditch Switch Online. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, so I think all the Switch Online titles are going to continue for sure. All right, let's switch gears from Nintendo to PlayStation. Story number two, State of Play returns today. This comes directly from the PlayStation blog. Hello, everyone. I'm Sean Benson, part of the global third-party relations team here at PlayStation, and I'm excited to announce a new State of Play broadcast streaming tomorrow, September 14th, at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Tomorrow's broadcast will focus on updates to previously announced games coming to PlayStation consoles, from indie and PSVR 2 highlights to major upcoming titles from our third-party partners. Our latest show has something for everyone. That was, of course, posted yesterday. This morning, they tweeted out, State of Play returns today with a look at indies, upcoming releases, and a new slice of Helldivers 2 gameplay.
Very exciting.
Helldivers 2.
Now, want to see more Helldivers 2? That should be fun.
Yeah.
Indie games, always cool. We'll see. Maybe there's like some updates on ones we've been looking for. Otherwise, just some new fun announcements.
Yeah.
PSVR 2. We'll see how many they actually show and what that looks like. But major upcoming titles from third-party partners. Major. Big word to be thrown around there.
You know what else is a big word?
What?
Stellar Blade.
Stellar Blade?
Those are two small words.
Yeah,
they're kind of a big word.
Stellar feels big.
It's like medium. Yeah. But like, come on.
you know what I mean?
I mean, it has to be a time, right? Like, Helldivers 2, it also, I think, kind of fits on that. It's a weird thing of what do they consider third party. The fact that they say third party partners, that doesn't mean like Helldivers 2, the studio that's making that game is a third party partner. Helldivers 2 is a first party game, right? But they're a third party partner.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Stellar Blade thing. Stellar Blade, first party game, being developed by a third party partner.
Yeah.
So like both of
that
these
sense, for sure.
Fit the bill. So like in Stellar Blade, again, slated for 2023, is that going to happen? Does it get delayed? Probably. But does it show up here?
Place to show that off,
I think
right?
This would be a great place to show the game off.
And even delay it. You know what I mean?
And, yeah,
like,
and delay
if
it.
They're going to, or like, hey, early 2024, here you go. And I don't even think that'd be a bad decision.
I was gonna say
at this point,
early 2024, great window,
smart move,
great window for Stellar Blade.
So looking at that though, major upcoming titles from third-party partners.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run through the options. Capcom, Monster Hunter World, 2.
Oh,
I mean, I'm just saying, like that. Yeah. That seems crazy, but like
that's an option.
That game needs to be announced somewhere.
Yeah,
we do have TGS, and again, eggs on my face, peaches on his, eggs on mine.
Yep.
Where
Kojima,
you were so convinced that there was going to be some type of TGS actual showcase thing, and I was like, there's not, and there's gonna be.
Yep.
So we're gonna get announcements, and we're probably gonna get Kojima, and potentially Monster Hunter World 2 there. Would make a lot of sense, but it could make sense here as well.
It could make sense here, right? Like, Capcom has a pretty good relationship with PlayStation. We've seen plenty of Capcom games originally announced at PlayStation. Not even just showcases, State of Plays. Last year, we got RE4. It was RE4? Yeah, RE4 and Street Fighter both announced at that PlayStation State of Play. I think it could line up and make sense for us to get a Monster Hunter World here, too.
Because, yeah, we're not going to get another RE. We're not going to get another Street Fighter. Like, maybe, like, some DLC update.
Well, what was the one they had at Xbox? Which, like, probably would mean that we're not going to get it here. But there was that weird action strategy-ish game that I can never remember the title of. But there was that game. Maybe that makes another appearance here.
Moving on from Capcom, Ubisoft, I doubt it, but like big games, Assassin's Creed and Rush, we've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
So like, I'll
take another Prince of Persia
titles.
Trailer.
Yeah, hell yeah, especially on PS5.
Fuck it. Just copy and paste the one from the Nintendo Direct.
That'd be great.
I'll watch it again.
Scootball says Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake. I don't think so, but like maybe. That feels further out.
That does feel further out.
But I don't
know. I'll throw in there is it Rise of the Ronin, the game from Koei Tecmo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is supposed to come out next year. And that was one that was revealed at this slated State of Play last year is where we got the reveal of that. So I think we could get a checkup on that. Tekken 8, I think we can get another checkup on, right?
That
like, that game is around the corner. It would make sense to re-promote that. We're probably going to get a Spider-Man 2 trailer.
Probably.
Maybe get a Spider-Man 2 trailer. I don't know. The weird thing is, like, we know when the embargo for the previews are. So do you release a trailer today and then have the previews come out tomorrow? Or do you wait till tomorrow and do a trailer there?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know.
Or do you even have a trailer? I don't know.
I mean, I imagine we're going to get a trailer.
Yeah.
Right? And then what else is there?
Previews usually align with something.
Yeah.
Somebody said Ember Labs. Like, we need to get
Ember
Labs.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel... I keep thinking about that. I was thinking about Kena recently, and I'm just like, I want their next game. Because like Kena was like such a good 3 out of 5. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, man. I put it at like a 4 out of 5.
I mean, I feel like I might too. But like somewhere between a really good 3 out of 5 and a 4 out of 5, and I think because it is unique and how beautiful it is, like I'd give it 4. And it being that team's first game, I think there's a lot of special there. But I feel like their next game could be like actually
the next incredible. Game could be special, right? I think now that you put out your first thing, you've honed in, you know what this process is like of making a game. You see what things make Kena special, and you can double down on those elements.
Yeah,
I'm also very excited.
I would lose my shit for that. People talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. I mean, at some point we're gonna have to get that.
Yeah, I mean, that game's coming out,
you know,
early next year.
And State of Plays tend to be the Final Fantasy VII remake projects. Like,
either...
Although they did just have their Rebirths, like, trailer at Summer Game Fest. Or, yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, at Opening Night Live?
Yeah. No, Summer Game Fest.
Wait, was it that long ago? Oh, yeah, you're right. It ended Summer Game Fest.
Remember the whole, you excited for Final Fantasy? It's like... Use the Uber code.
Oh God, I love Jeff. The thing with Final Fantasy VII is that I think there's a number of places that game could show up because like they announced that at just a random Square Enix Final Fantasy stream.
I mean, it wasn't random. It was the Final Fantasy VII anniversary event.
That's random. That's random to me.
Well, I mean,
but I guess it makes sense.
The least random. That is like you expect to see stuff there. Then we all got Crisis Core.
I don't think we expected Final Fantasy VII Rebirth though.
I mean,
we expected Crisis Core.
Fingers crossed. Oh.
Actually, I don't know if we expected Crisis.
Yeah, we did not.
I think we expected just some random Final Fantasy VII shit. But basically what I'm saying is that we could see it at State of Play. We could see it at Game Awards. They could do another Final Fantasy specific stream, show it there. Like, there's a number of places.
The only place it won't be is an Xbox show. You know what I mean?
Goddamn. Yeah. Damn, that sucks. That sucks for y'all. That's crazy. But y'all have Starfield to have one. Yeah. Tim, we're over here. We're throwing predictions back and forth. I want to bring in a write-in from Co-op 64, who's the person that wrote in yesterday.
Ooh, love
the
this.
Will They Won't Theys. Co-op 64 writes in again today with another Will They Won't They. They write in and say, good morning, Bless and Tim. With the announcement of a State of Play, I am back with my favorite game of Will They or Won't They Be There. Here's a list of 10 games. Will they or won't they show up tonight? Tim, first of all, I want to give a shout out again to KDG, who's the one that tabulated the score from yesterday. KDG, I'm going to need you to do it again today. All right, keep me and Tim honest. Tim, are you trying to put a pizza on this?
No.
No?
Fuck it, yeah. You want pizza?
Yeah. Pizza man!
That way, if I lose, I can just transfer Andy's pizza to Tim. Yeah, make it work that way. All right, let's start off. Co-op 64 starts with Stellar Blade. 1,000% yes.
Yes.
It's going to be there.
I say yes.
FF7 Rebirth.
Oh my God, I'm so torn, dude. I'm going to say no.
I'm also going to say no. I feel like FF7 Rebirth, it's that weird thing of State of Play and like what you expected. How big is too big for a State of Play?
I mean, Final Fantasy's not. Literally.
But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, though.
Literally, though, that Final Fantasy VII Remake projects have been in State of Plays.
Wait, have they?
Yeah. When it was first reintroduced, it was a State of Play.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm starting to remember. I'm still going to say no.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
Monster Hunter World.
Fuck it. I think yes.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I'm putting faith in TGS.
Yeah, I mean, TGS, I think
that
it's
would
either
make sense,
here,
though. Fuck.
It's here or TGS. But the fact that they're saying major upcoming third-party partner, blah, 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 Monster Hunter.
I'm going to get spicy. Just be spicy. I'm going to say no. I think there's a chance that we see here, but I'm going to say no. Death Stranding.
Ooh.
But Jim's been editing something.
He has. I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I mean, he did... He did post that picture that just said TGS, which could mean anything.
Yeah.
Could mean, hey, I'm going to be here, sign an autograph.
I'm leaning to TGS for...
So I'm also going to say no for Death Stranding. Silent Hill 2.
You know, I'm going to say yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
I'm going to say no. Spider-Man 2.
I mean, fuck it. Why not? Like, Spider-Man 2, will it be... What?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I'm going to say yeah. There's going to be like some like another story trailer or a launch trailer.
A quick little thing. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see Spider-Man.
Like something, we're going to get a Spider-Man thing at some point in the next couple days. I don't know where is the thing. I'm going to say yes because it will make sense to me.
Exactly. I'm with you.
Wolverine.
No.
No. It's too close to Spider-Man. Little Devil Inside.
Oof. Oof. Why not?
Oh, man.
I'll say yeah.
If you're saying yes, I'm going to say no to be spicy.
Okay, cool.
I could see it either way. It's that thing of that game closed out a State of Play, right? Was the main event of a State of Play and then just went,
yeah,
disappeared.
And they're talking about indie games, so.
They are talking about indie games. Concord.
Nah.
We're not talking about the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah, I Yeah, I don't think they're gonna.
I'm also gonna say no. And then any unannounced first party game.
Ooh.
Any unannounced. I'm gonna say no.
No.
I think you save those for a PlayStation showcase.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Our predictions are filed. Any last thing before we move on about the state of play?
I'm excited for it. I love days where we're getting multiple showcases and announcements, and I feel like having a direct and having the direct be that good and following up with the state of play. I think that both the direct and state of play today, we're going in with like the right level of expectations of like, hey, there's a lot of cool stuff that could happen, but like there's nothing riding on if this isn't there, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, cool, more Helldivers. Awesome. I want
to
see that.
Yeah. I'm here for a good time. I'm here to like, I'm not expecting big heavy hitters. I'm not expecting anything that's going to like blow my socks off. I'm just expecting updates. I'm expecting another trailer for Stellar Blade and for Greg Miller to be like, oh, what was this thing again?
Yeah, totally.
Or for me to be like, oh, it's that game. It's that game that looks like Nier, but also like kind of has its own. It's made in, I think, China. it's a cool looking game. And Greg's like, all right,
man.
Nerd.
But see, you say we don't expect much, but we just went through 10 pretty big titles, and we're a fair amount of them. We're like, oh yeah, that could be there. So hey, we'll see. Couple hours away.
We'll see. Oh, man, we didn't even talk about VR. Somebody said Among Us VR. That would make sense.
Mm.
Yeah, you're going to see Among Us VR, I bet.
Yeah,
maybe finally we see Half-Life Alyx. We're never going to see Half-Life Alyx. Give up the hope. Tim?
Maybe we'll finally get Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Stop hoping.
You know what? Fuck it. We're going to get it. Remember, there was the trademark sign filed for them. That's my final prediction.
They filed that trademark because they're going to put out a plushie or something.
Well,
and I'll buy it.
Plush me up.
Tim, before we move on to story number three, I want to let people out there know, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple people at Kind of Funny, multiple of my friends, at how many subscriptions they have that they forgot about and are still paying for. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. Rocket Money, it does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. This episode's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. You can get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code KINDOFFUNNY to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code KINDOFFUNNY. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with story number three. Star Wars Jedi series director Stig Asmussen. Do you know how to pronounce his last name? I'm definitely going to butcher this.
No.
Asmussen is leaving Respawn. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. Wild, right? Stig, the director of both Star Wars Jedi games, is leaving developer Respawn Entertainment. As reported by Bloomberg, Stig is leaving Respawn and his parent company EA, with his next destination currently unknown. Quote, after careful thought and consideration, Stig has decided to leave Respawn to pursue other adventures, and we wish him the best of luck, an EA spokesperson told Bloomberg in a statement. Quote, veteran Respawn leaders will be stepping up to guide the team as they continue their work on Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Just last week, EA CEO Andrew Wilson teased unannounced projects currently in development at Respawn, calling the studio one of the most incredible acquisitions ever done in the industry. That's some high praise.
What a fucking statement! Which that I want so accurate.
I would say I want to come back to that statement because, like, that's probably true, right?
Oh yeah.
They're an incredible team, and they've created incredible value for us, for our shareholders, and certainly for these global communities of players across Apex and the Jedi series. Wilson said. And you should imagine that there's some other things going on at Respawn that we're very excited about, that we're not going to talk about, but that we're very excited about just given the quality of that group, end quote. So yeah, coming back to one of the most incredible acquisitions ever done in the industry, that might be facts. I think that's been facts, right?
I mean, like, absolutely.
They come through, and we talk about how hated EA has been for like the longest time, right? Whether that's warranted, unwarranted, that's up to the eyes of the beholder. I think Respawn maybe single-handedly has turned that around as far as like, oh shit, you now have a single player franchise that we are looking forward to entry for entry.
And you have a multiplayer.
And a multiplayer hit, like a multiplayer success in this battle royale space, which is like one of the most competitive spaces to get into as a big company, right? Everybody wanted a piece of that after Fortnite and PUBG.
A piece of that.
Everybody still wants a piece of that. The fact that Respawn was able to give you both Jedi and then also Apex, that is a crown jewel of a publisher right there.
It's absolutely wild, man. I feel like when you look at it, like everything you just said is so true, but even taking it further than that, showing that they can take an IP and really make the most of it with Star Wars, but then also take their own IP and make a spinoff of a Titanfall game and turn it into Apex Legends and have it print money.
Yeah.
Like, there's talent there that really has a firm grasp of understanding on what type of games to make and that not every game needs to be made or can be made the exact same way. And the studio is extremely talented, and they've shown time after time now they're a freaking hit parade. Like, they know what they're doing to the point that if we see the Respawn logo, it doesn't matter what's coming after.
Yeah,
we're excited.
Yeah, 1,000%. And yeah, like, I mean, now I feel like the EA we have now is different from the EA we had like, let's say, 6-7 years ago, right? Where now I'm like, oh yeah, an EA game obviously could mean sports, it could mean Battlefield, it could mean whatever. It also could mean not only just Jedi, it could mean It Takes Two, right? It could mean one of those EA original games. It could mean a Dead Space remake, right? And I feel like a lot of that was built off of Respawn proving that, like, hey, no, we can put out a Jedi Fallen Order game and have the single player thing be a success and be enticing, and EA going, oh yeah, let's make more of these. Like, let's support these a bit more.
Well, let's talk about Stig, though.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like, this is always one of those hard things to talk about, because on one hand, it's like, congratulations. You know what I mean? Like, this is probably an awesome earned thing, whatever he's doing next, or if he's just done and chilling, right? Like, you've earned your rest. But then there was the other side that I'm like, oh, I'm bummed. You know what I mean? Like, I want another Jedi game, and I want him at the helm of it. Like, the results speak for themselves. Like, Jedi Fallen Order, kind of funny's game of the year that year. Like, we loved that game. We loved Survivor in a year crowded with amazing video games. Like, I can't believe that Jedi Survivor is, quote-unquote, as low on my list this year because of how amazing that game is. There's just so much around it that is so good as well. They got the secret sauce there, and I'm selfishly pretty bummed about this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, and I think, you know, we don't know much about the behind the scenes of was this, I mean, the fact that EA is giving a statement, you would assume amicable, right? But like, we don't really know what's going on there. You would hope that, though, in the transition out, it is, let me make sure I train people up to be able to take this over in lead roles. Let me make sure that people understand what makes these games good and equip them with the tools they need to be able to make another Jedi game that is just as good as the last one you put out. And so even in the statement from EA where they talk about how veteran Respawn leaders will be stepping up to guide the team as they continue their work on Star Wars Jedi Survivor, I hope that's true in the way that it sounds, right? Yeah. I hope it isn't just a, hey, I'm out. Like, you guys aren't giving me a raise. I'm gone. And then, like, it's like, oh, man, well, we got to figure out how we're going to do this. again, like, we don't know.
We don't.
You would hope, though, that it's more of an amicable thing.
My gut tells me, and this is totally just pulling out of my ass.
Yeah.
That he is going to go to PlayStation again.
Oh, and okay.
The problem with that is going from being the top of a studio, there's no place necessarily for him to be top of a studio unless they make a new studio.
Yeah. Oh.
And I feel like, again, pulling this out of my ass, but that's what my money's on.
I mean, that's what we see happen all the time. Usually it's like more of an indie sense, right? Yeah. I'm going to start my own AAA studio called That's No Sun. Like, yeah, exactly. Is you doing whatever. Exactly. But like,
I don't think it'll be one of those situations with Stig.
You don't think so?
No, I think it'll be a bit more of a, you've proven you got the stuff. Let's do this.
I mean, I hope if it is, I would be so down for a new studio. Like, I think that'd be such a good way to go about it. Because as you mentioned, right, like, he was leading Respawn, mm-hmm. to end up being, and like, this is going to sound more, I guess, aggressive than what I mean it, right? But like, to be a cog in the machine as opposed to being like the top of it and being able to like make those decisions and lead,
yeah.
It feels like you have less impact. And I want to see Stig have impact.
There is the other side of that, though, where after having to lead for that long, I can see somebody like,
yeah, be like, I want to be a cog. Like,
I just want to be creative. I just want to make my game. I don't want to have to deal with these factors.
These big
decisions.
There's
always other things to deal with. But like, again, I have no insider info on this, and I could be completely off. But like, that to me, he seems in a very unique position that I don't think I could say that about pretty much anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, but, you led two successful Star Wars.
And a God of War 3.
That puts you in a place where it's like, yo, who wants to give me money to do what I want to do and make a success for you? And so, very excited and curious to see what Stig does next.
Mm-hmm.
Story number 4, of course, we got more Unity conversation. Unity acknowledges confusion and frustration among developers, but won't walk back install fee plan. This is Kat Bailey at IGN. Before I even get into it, Tim, are you caught up with this whole scenario?
Fortunately, I am.
Yes. All right, cool.
What a disaster.
A whole disaster, of course. We were just tuning in if you missed the last couple of KOTDs. Unity, the video game engine, they are now going to start charging on January 1st based on downloads for developers, right? So if you're a studio or a developer that is making a game in Unity and somebody downloads your game after January 1st, you're probably going to owe a certain amount of money. Depends on how much downloads you have, but like, it's somewhere around 20 cents per download that you're paying back to Unity, which is fucking wild. Because I did the math in my head as I was like putting together this story. And it's like, yo, that means we have 100,000 downloads. 20K. That's $20,000 you now owe to Unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
You know what game uses Unity?
What's that?
All of them.
All of them, yeah. So Pokemon many Go. Indie games.
Pokemon Go.
Genshin Impact.
Genshin.
Do you know how many downloads Genshin Impact has?
The impact. That's literally, though, wild. Like,
insanity.
So much money.
So let's get into this article. Game developers are still furious about Unity's planned install fees, but the platform holder is holding fast to its new policy, arguing that, quote, 90% of Unity customers will not be affected by this change. Acknowledging the confusion and frustration stemming from the proposed runtime fees, Unity sought to clarify questions about how the company defines and counts installs. One of the major sticking points around the new policy. Unity has previously said that it will charge 20 cents per install for any game with more than 200,000 installs, raising questions about multiple installs, Game Pass, and other issues. Unity claims it will count only net new installs on any device starting January 1st. It also says developers won't pay fees on reinstallations. Fraudulent installs through botnets and other tricks, trial versions, web and streaming games, and charity-related installs. Unity also updated its official blog with more details. Unity's clarifications didn't seem to placate users. The post currently sits at close to 1,000 comments to just 239 likes. Quote, "This fee has still no upper bound. We are penalized for users installing the game on as many devices as they want, and no piracy slash fraudulent checks are/nor can be put in place, leaving it to the developer to figure it out," the official account behind GenoKids argued. Other developers urged Unity to fully walk back the plan, which has been heavily criticized for heaping unplanned expenses on smaller games. On top of that, I got another statement. We've been doing a lot of statements as reactions to this story. Yeah. Today, I'm pulling one from Megacrit, the developers of Slay the Spire, who put out this statement. "The Megacrit team has been hard at work these past 2+ years on a new game. But unlike with Slay the Spire, the engine we have been developing it in is Unity. The retrospective pricing structure of runtime fees is not only harmful in a myriad of ways to developers, especially indies, it is also a violation of trust. We believe Unity is fully aware of this, seeing as they have gone so far as to remove their TOS from GitHub. Despite the immense amount of time and effort our team has already poured into development on our new title, we will be migrating to a new engine unless the changes are completely reverted in terms of service protections are put in place. We have
never... Stop here. Mm-hmm. The way that this is presented, it's the classic, like, statement thing with the bold color in the back, the font, whatever. There's a whole bunch of paragraphs up until where you read. And then in all bold, one
all
line
bold,
says...
This final line that says, we have never made a public statement before. That is how badly you fucked up.
Damn. And look, we've seen a whole bunch of these the last couple days. Like, people are very upset with this, which makes so much sense. This is untenable for so many developers out there, and especially it being a decision that's made that they were not warned about. Like, this system's being invested in for so long that it is going to be extremely costly to now even have
migrate
to
over
migrate somewhere else and all of that. So no matter what way you shake it, it's like this is costing so many teams, big and small, a ton of money and stress and resources.
Imagine being a couple years into developing your game, right? Let's say you're 2 years into developing your game and like the full development life cycle is going to be 4 years. And 2 years in, you get hit up and somebody's like, hey, just so you know, because of a new thing we're adding, you're going to lose out on hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars less on this thing. And it's like, well, I could have just used Unreal if I knew that was going to happen, right?
And what sucks, too, is it's not even lose out on, potentially. It costs you.
Yeah, you might owe this money.
Yeah, so it's like that can get, I mean, that will get messy real fast. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the Pokemon Go's and Genshin Impacts of the world. Like, those things are going to cruise past these numbers so quickly. And that's... No matter how you shake it, especially when you look at like those games that are already debatably, if not entirely, predatory when it comes to like getting people hooked and having to pay a whole bunch of things, are those prices going to go down? Mm-hmm. Is it going to become more consumer friendly? No, they're going to have to find a way to make up for all that. Like
and the multiple installs thing as well too, right? Like because that feels like a walk back of we're only going to count the first install. That's all we're going to count. The fact that when I request a game code, Tim, right, and like I know this is a me specific thing, right, but like if I get a PC game, guess what? I'm downloading it on my work computer. I'm then downloading it on my Steam Deck. I'm then downloading it on my home computer. Mm-hmm. That's 60 cents for one man. That's one just man. Me costing a developer 60 cents right there.
Yeah.
Imagine the amount of people that are downloading things on multiple devices, right? Let alone, do we got to stream it for work? Let me download it on the 4 streaming computers in the streaming lab.
Totally. And I think another thing that some of these developers are hinting at here, but like, and they're saying that they might have ways around this, but like there is the potential of like review bombing, but install bombing.
Yeah.
Right? Like targeted fucking with developers. That is not good to be able to at all incentivize or even allow.
It's insanity. And I think we have to see this get overturned in some way or retracted in some way. I don't know if it's going to be a middle ground thing. I don't know if there even is a middle ground because I think just inherently the idea of charging per install sucks. And you get that like, okay, well, this is a Game Pass problem. This is a PS Plus problem. We're trying to account for these things. But this is a bad way to account for it. This is an icky way to do it. So be better, Unity. Story number 5, Hades 2 Early Access has been pushed to 2024. This comes directly from Supergiant's blog. Back when we first revealed Hades 2 at the Game Awards in 2022, we said to expect more information on our plans for Early Access sometime in 2023. It's time we shed some light on those plans. Early Access starts next year. We can now confirm we're planning for Hades 2 to launch in Early Access in Q2 2024 on Steam and the Epic Game Store. We'll have more details on the exact date, pricing, and system requirements closer to that time. Exciting.
Hell yes. You want to keep reading there? Or
we can stop there.
There's a lot, but I do want to read a little bit here.
Oh, go for it.
You may be wondering why we can't launch in early access like right now. The game looked pretty far along in the trailer. The reason is Hades 2 will have at least as much content from day one in early access as the original game did back when it launched in early access on Steam. And even though early access inherently means a game's not yet complete, we still want to do everything we can to make sure Hades 2 is worth your while as soon as you can play it in any capacity. All this is exciting. I feel like Q2 2024, that's awesome.
Yep.
Like that
great window.
A good place to be. My question to you is, and to the audience, did any of us or any of y'all play Hades in early access?
I did not know.
So, because I played it.
I know Greg did.
Once it actually came out. And I know we like dabbled with it. I think we did a Let's Play or something. But like, what did that look like? Like, I find it a little weird that the type of game Hades is has an early access program built into it at all.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make sense to me. Can someone explain, like, what, why? Like, why would a Hades 2 need to have early access? Is it just they just chose to and they want to? Or is it, like, is there some reason there?
I mean, that's a really good question, right? Like, the way that I've always just assumed it is tweaking, balancing of, like, values for all the roguelite elements of, like, oh, yeah, this thing is going to be plus 2 damage on this thing. And it's, mm-hmm. like, we got to get all that shit right, and it's easier to manage that if we're getting feedback from a bunch of players. That probably bug fixes and, like, all that regular stuff that you get out of doing, like, a beta or whatever that is. But yeah, early access has always been a thing that's fascinated me. I usually don't hop into early access stuff unless it's one of those things where I think Fortnite was early access for the longest time or some shit, right? Like, there are certain games where it's like, okay, this is the full release. Like, let's not kid ourselves. This is the full release.
That's kind of where I'm at. And like, I'm just gonna be interested in how Hades 2 is talked about. It's a sequel to a very successful game.
That is the other thing where you're coming off of Hades, which was very successful, very popular, right? I think that coming out in early access can kind of fly under the radar in early access until you have that full release. Now everybody's playing it. Hades 2, there's hype for it, right? Like, there's a level of, oh, we all played Hades 1. We all can't wait for Hades 2. Are we all going to play the Hades 2 early access in that case? Like, or do we see the similar kind of, all right, Hades 2 early access is kind of low-key, and then Hades 2 official release is where we get that sequel push. It is a weird thing.
I'm very excited, though.
Also very excited. Final news story. Story number 6, EA reportedly is ending support for Wild Hearts 7 months after launch. This is Mike Straw at Insider Gaming. EA is reportedly ending support for Wild Hearts just 7 months after the game's launch. The report comes via a post in both the game's official Discord and on its subreddit from a moderator. Quote, "What you think has happened to the game has unfortunately happened," the moderator said. Quote, "In typical EA news, it seems like they did not want to sit on the game and give it the time and expected it to most likely be the next Monster Hunter. Seems like it didn't turn into the multi-million dollar big hit they wanted and don't want to give it the love to grow," end quote. While servers are likely to stay online, players shouldn't expect any sort of additional content, updates, or fixes moving forward. There's expected to be an official announcement made, according to the moderator. The Monster Hunting game launched in February and has received generally favorable reviews on Metacritic. Insider Gaming has reached out to both EA and developer Omega Force for comment on this report. Absolutely wild. We liked this game.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with
absolutely
this game.
Absolutely wild heart.
But also, about a month later, I don't think anybody was talking about it.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's another one bites the dust, right?
Yeah.
It's just the story over and over and over. And this is EA. We were just, like, praising them on the Respawn side of, like, they have their win with Apex Legends. You look at the PlayStation slate that they're talking about here, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on these type of games. We'll see how this goes.
Is the bummer thing for me with EA Originals too, where we've seen the heights, we've seen the It Takes Twos, and like EA Originals come out with bangers, and then this year for EA Originals feels like it's been a bit more tempered, right? And Wild Hearts and Immortals of Avium didn't get bad reception. Wild Hearts, pretty good, but now it's like, okay, well, nobody's playing it. Immortals of Avium, it's okay, right? It's like, it's come out, it's pretty fine, and it's like, I don't hear people talking about it. Granted, it came out in the worst place possible.
Yeah.
Between Baldur's Gate 3, Armored Core 6, mm-hmm. and Starfield.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? It's hard, man.
It's tough.
Too many games.
Too many games. And we got more games to come, Tim. But those games coming so far away.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Out today, we got Deceit 2 for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X. Ad Infinitum for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X. Monster Hunter Now for mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Pathfinder, Gallo Spire Survivors for PC. Remedium for PC. Axolotl, that's AK Zolotl. I imagine that's like an axolotl with an AK-47.
Okay.
Kevin, can we get a trailer for Axolotl? That is AK-Z or X-O-L-O-T-L. That's out today for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Switch. The Crew Motorfest for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Botan Kaitos 1 and 2 HD Remaster for Switch.
On a pale blue dot, whoa, somewhere in the observable universe, lives the axolotl.
All right.
These aquatic salamanders live a free and peaceful life. But they draw the line at stealing food. Someone is about to
get fire in his eyes. Jesus!
Okay. I was going to mute it right away, but then it started and I was like, oh no, I know where they're going then. This is good.
This is great.
Planet Earth style this, intro. Nah,
this looks like
this looks great.
This looks like a fun. What was the name of that game, the game with the baby that would shoot you with its tears? Binding of Isaac. It's like Binding of Isaac.
Yes.
But like with an axolotl.
I don't know why that was such a weird way to explain that game, but yeah, that's
1000% what that game is. Hell yeah, you go, axolotl. And then yeah, City of Beasts is out today for Switch, and then Mortal Kombat 1 Premium Edition is out today for PC, PS5, Switch, Xbox Series X and S.
The Crew Motor Fest is out today.
Insane.
Wow.
I was looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
And then I got Mortal Kombat and Liza P and other games.
So many games.
Too many games. New date for you, Warhammer.
Pokemon DLC's out.
I didn't realize that last night. You started?
Yeah, I'm like 2 hours in.
How you liking it?
That's cool.
I haven't seen videos of it. Of people being like, the same bugs are here. And it's like,
oh yeah,
characters fucking wigging out and all shit.
Yeah. There is one thing that they fixed, which is when you open up your boxes with all the Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take 10 minutes for them to pop in anymore. Now they're just there. So that's nice.
Good for them. Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader will release on December 7th for PC, Mac, PS5, and Xbox Series X. And then deal of the day for you. This comes from VGC. Out of Line and The Forest Quartet will be free to claim from Epic Game Store from September 21st to the 28th. A quick squad up for you. Zen writes in and says, I'm the hash-slinging slasher of monsters, and I just want to work with other hunters. If you want to play some Monster Hunter now with Zen, you can add Zen with the code 7499-2671-5355. That is 7499-2671-5355 if you want to play with Zen, aka the hash-slinging slasher of monsters.
Hell yeah.
Tim, are you familiar with the hash-slinging slasher?
I'm not. Are you?
Yeah. It's a SpongeBob reference.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Kebab says, Peachette is Toadette after picking up her exclusive Super Crown item in the new Super Mario Brothers Deluxe, turning her into a Toadette-flavored Princess Peach. I remember this.
Flavored.
I remember this. Thank you for that.
Flavored.
You're wrong, Kebabs. Because as you said it, I was like, yes, that rings a bell. Everybody's writing about Peachette. Let's see.
Everybody.
Everybody. Again, it's Bond is the name of the dog. Bondo.
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 Legend. Bondo.
Somebody wrote in with an article called here, the top 10 changes to Hades. That's probably like the early access changes that you saw. And then a missed new date. The free update 2.0 for Cyberpunk 2077 will come out on September 21st for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. This is a few days before Phantom Liberty, which releases on September 26th. And that is from Radic. Thank you, Radic.
Hell yeah. Also, Radic, if you're watching right now, you're looking damn good, my guy.
You are. Yeah, I've been seeing Radic. Yeah. That's it for You're Wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are going to be me and Tim. Well, it's going to be Tim and me because Tim's going to be in this chair.
I'll be in that chair. We're going to be from home. Working from home.
Oh, yeah. We'll be at home.
So doing a big little studio tech update makeover.
Yeah. Y'all been complaining about us going into robot mode. We're trying to fix that
shit. Trying to fix it.
And a whole bunch of other shit.
I don't know that it will fix that.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Never mind. We're not going to fix that shit.
Totally I mean, we're trying. We haven't even figured out why that's happening. There's a lot of pieces.
I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because we are robots.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Those really are aliens.
I've been trying my... exactly. Those really are aliens.
All right. Let's not get back on that conversation.
Good Lord. All right.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every day live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. No post show for you, but hang out all day. You know, we're going to be doing some live reactions to that PlayStation State of Play. We're going to be recording a Spider-Man preview for you that will go up tomorrow. So get hype for some hype content. Till next time, I've been Blessing. That's been Tim. Game Daily.